Welcome to Brexit. Regret, Brexitement, Brexdacy, or Breakfast.
We're Sammy Blooming, Susanna Martin, and Anoop Grimojan.
Today, we're going to talk to you about Brexit.
And it's going to be really fun.
Yes.
To start off, we're going to explain what the European Union even is, which is basically just 27 countries that kind of shook hands and agreed to be democratic.
Woohoo!
So that means they respect human dignity, freedom, democracy, equality, rule of law, respect for human rights, and especially human rights of minority groups. And their motto is United in Diversity, which means they're just very for inclusivity. That inclusivity is laid out in the many treaties that the EU has agreed upon, which includes the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union, which is basically just like a document that's like, hey, we all agree to be democratic, and they do. And then a lot of those treaties were signed in the aftermath of the Second World War to kind of bring more like cooperation and make them all best friends who will trade with one another.
And who won't have another world war.
Yeah. And just kind of
avoid conflict. Communism. Perfect.
Now, if you're wondering what a referendum even is, I'll explain it to you. It's basically just a vote, but the British are snobby, so they had to call it a referendum. And an even fancier, snobby, or more British word for it is plebiscite. Fun fact, which sounds like a disease.
I don't want a plebiscite.
No, nobody wants a plebiscite. Referendum is better. So the question being asked in this specific referendum was, should the UK remain a member of the EU or leave it?
What year was this, Susanna?
In the 2016 EU referendum.
Thank you for this clarification.
Yes. Okay. The Prime Minister, Cameron, chose to hold a referendum mostly because he was sure that he would win, because he had a lot of typical male arrogance. He made the mistake of relying on Boris Johnson's loyalty and also thinking that he could negotiate a good deal, but neither of those things ended up happening. Basically, he called for it because a lot of the members of Parliament were concerned they would lose their seats due to UKIP, the UK Independence Party.
That's catchier that way. And we'll keep it UKIP.
They threw a little tantrum, so he was like, don't worry, we'll call a referendum. But it didn't work out in his favor.
Bummer.
Yeah. So, just to clarify, Cameron was anti-Brexit, while UKIP was very pro-Brexit, which, you know, caused some tension between the two.
So, what was Brexit? Brexit is the name given to the United Kingdom's departure from the European Union, and if you didn't realize yet, it's BR like Britain plus exit like leaving. We definitely did realize this way before Kinsey directly explained it to the class.
Yep, I knew. I've known forever and ever.
On June 23rd, 2016, the UK held a referendum on its membership of the EU, and 51.89% of the voters voted to leave, but note that pretty much all of Scotland voted to stay in the EU, so they were way ahead of their time.
So some foreshadowing for later.
Yes. And the UK left the EU on January 31st, 2020, making Brexit definitely the most memorable part of 2020. Here are some reasons why British people...
Yep. UK people.
UK people. Didn't want to leave the EU. First off, Britain would have greater influence over international matters as a member of the EU.
Britain alone is not very trustworthy. I mean, have you read Oliver Twist? Do you know how much pickpocketing was going on in London? Ridiculous.
Dickens was telling the truth.
I know. I would never trust a British person.
No.
Yep.
And if they dislike some EU policies, Britain has already shown that it can decide not to involve itself with them. So, for example, the adoption of the euro in the 1990s. So they really don't need Brexit to do that. But as we know, Boris Johnson is all about maximum freedom for all.
That's what I always say about Bojo.
Bojo.
And also, European businesses invest billions of pounds in the UK every year.
So the UK is like their sugar baby.
Basically, yeah. And Britain gets access to the European single market through EU membership, which enables the easy movement of goods, services, and people. And free trade within the EU reduces barriers and enables companies to grow.
Just like a family Costco membership.
Exactly.
And if Britain voted to leave, 3 million jobs would be lost, and reduced immigration could cause damaging skill shortages in the UK workforce. This is foreshadowing.
Ooh.
And now here are some reasons why the UK did want to leave the European Union.
Yes.
God, European Union.
That's a terrible name.
That's so hard to say.
Reason number one is because European Union is a horrible thing for anyone to say. What's reason number two now?
Because Anoop can't pronounce it. Okay, reason number two being that continued EU membership would limit Britain's international influence, ruling out an independent seat at the World Trade Organization. And the other point is that Britain will have more control of its laws and regulations without the risk of having counterintuitive European policies
forcefully imposed.
That's a big word.
The UK needs to strike out on its own. She's too old. She's still living with her parents. Mother EU. Terrible. What's the next reason, Anouk?
The next reason is that EU membership fees, which amount to billions.
That's a very expensive Costco membership.
I know, right? Those pounds could be repurposed and spent on issues that matter most to the British people.
And the people of the UK. Not just the Brits.
All of them.
Just like a select few.
A select few, okay.
Like funding for the NHS, which is the National Health Service of the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And opponents of the EU argued that it is a dysfunctional economic entity. Basically, it's bad at economics.
Like me.
And the EU failed to address the economic problems that had been developing since 2008, and for example, 20% unemployment in Southern Europe. So that's kind of really inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
And the global rise in nationalism has also caused a growing distrust of multinational financial trade and defense organizations created after World War II. For example, the EU, the IMF, and NATO, and many people believed that these institutions no longer serve a purpose and take control away from individual nations. And lastly, people argued that Britain should regain control of its borders because that would allow for a substantial cut in immigration.
Because some of that stems from the immigration crisis in Europe, and because of the UK's part in the EU. We meant the UK earlier, not Britain specifically, but the UK had to accept more immigration than it wanted because of their part in the EU. Okay, heads up, if there are sounds in the background, those are normal grocery sounds, just like the sounds from before were us eating Thin Mints, so we could be so charged up to talk to you about the after effects of Brexit in the UK. So since Brexit, the UK is the only member of the G7, which is the group of strong economies that also includes Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and the US, that has an economy smaller than it was before the pandemic, and it also has the second lowest growth rate. So I don't know, I guess Italy was secretly really grinding through the pandemic and all those TikTok videos where people were like singing Katy Perry songs on their balconies and Italian villages were just a front. So years of uncertainty over the future trading relationships with the EU, which is Britain's largest trading partner, have damaged business investment, which in the third quarter was 8% below pre-pandemic levels, despite the UK and EU trade deal being in place for nearly 2 years. So even though Brexit was only like officially and fully passed in 2020, the years of will they, won't they, slow burn, romance novel style tension between them didn't exactly help create a healthy and consistent relationship. So I don't know, Colleen Hoover might want to take note of that or something. The British pound has also been struggling, making imports more expensive and increasing inflation while failing to boost exports. The pound has lost nearly a fifth of its value since the EU referendum, and now it's just like 19% to the US dollar since Brexit. Brexit has also created trade barriers for UK businesses and for foreign companies that used Britain as a European base, kind of like a hub, stopping imports and exports, investment, and creating labor shortages.
Basically, people saw Britain as something of a trade hub representing the whole of the EU. Like the designated driver in your friend group, people gave Britain stuff to give to other people. Or like how Macy's does in fact have every brand in the world if you're willing to walk through hell to find it.
And it is hell. I want to reiterate that. Macy's is hell. Continue.
However, now that Britain has left the EU, people are giving their stuff to like the... What?
The singing Italians on their balconies.
I just wasn't expecting that to be this point.
People
and are giving not their finding much use for their car.
No longer Britain. The designated driver, I suppose. So now workers are striking, walking out in ever larger numbers over pay and conditions, while the worst inflation in decades is eating into their wages. And then at the same time, the government is cutting spending and increasing their taxes to fill the hole in its budget. And believe it or not, when workers are already striking, increasing taxes isn't exactly making people the biggest fans of the government ever.
No way.
I mean it. That's crazy. It. I know. I'm really intuitive. So while Brexit isn't the cause of Britain's cost of living crisis as well, it has made the problem much more difficult to solve with the high inflation and rising interest rates. Researchers at the London School of Economics, which I'm assuming is very prestigious, estimate that the variety of UK products exported to the EU declined by a full 30% during the first year of Brexit, which they said was likely because small exporters had exited EU markets. So, what this means is that the TCA, which is the EU-UK Trade and Cooperation Agreement, which is such a mouthful, and also it should be UK-EU, because that's a lot easier to say out loud. Anyway, that has increased the fixed costs of exporting to the EU, which causes small exporters to leave the small markets. So if we go back to the designated driver analogy, small businesses are seeing the prices of gas on, I don't know, theoretically, let's say Mercer Island, not that I'd know anything about that, and they're saying, you know, they're all British or UK people and they do their whole blimey, righty-ho, rinky-dink, okey-dokey, I'd rather rot at home than spend money on gas, which is not a personal experience at all. So they're just done. They know they're going to fail in the market at this point. They know that with the costs and the new paperwork, they're not going to make it, so they're kind of giving up.
The only substantive new...
Substantial.
The only substantial new trade deals it has struck since exiting the EU, which did not simply roll over the deals as it had as an EU member, have been with Australia and New Zealand.
They're really trying to join their new friend groups, but it's a little bit hard when they just separated themselves from 27 different friends. So.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And by the government's own estimate, these will have a negligible impact on the UK economy, increasing GDP in the long run by just 0.1% and, oh my gosh, 0.03% respectively.
Not a lot.
No.
Not very helpful.
Not at all.
Very not beneficial friendship.
And bad!
That's what I'm saying, Nuke. So most countries, after the worst of the pandemic was over, kind of had a rebound in global trade. But the UK completely missed out on that. Bummer.
Sucks to suck.
By the end of 2021, total goods export volumes among most like advanced economies, like those G7s, had rebounded to 3% above their pre-pandemic levels, but the UK goods export volumes remained about 12% weaker. So I guess the singing Italians on their balconies were grinding, and the UK was stress-eating chip buddies, which do seem like they put you in a proper sluggish food coma, so I guess I understand that.
Furthermore, the economy's diversity only hurts the situation, since the economy is too weighted towards financial services and professional services at the expense of manufacturing. More than 80% of the country's wealth is generated by services like finance and business and tourism. Less than 20% comes from industry and less than 1% from agriculture. before Brexit, there was a lot of talk about rebalancing the economy and developing industry, but this has not happened.
Not good.
Not good.
As Anouk says,
bad. Bad.
A study by the think tank Center for European Reform and UK in a Changing Europe suggests that there are, oh, big number, 330,000 fewer workers in the UK as a result of Brexit. So sectors such as transport, hospitality, and retail have been hit very hard. A lack of workers has resulted in shortages and pushed up bills for customers.
So the British Karens are at an all-time high. We did not read this, but I'm going to infer, along with the rates of waiters crying in storage closets. So sorry to service workers in the UK. Whoops. Okay. So, with Rishi Sunak's arrival, the current Prime Minister, in Downing Street, the fallout from Brexit has continued to shake the ruling Conservative Party. The Tories' consistently poor poll ratings and the distinct possibility that by the next UK election, which is due by January 2025, may bring a change of government has kind of been hanging over people's heads. So, here comes my long explanation for this. The Tories have held on to government power for, like, forever in Britain. The legacy of Miss Maggie T., everyone's favorite, is still fresh in everyone's minds, which seemed pretty iron strong. thank you. Until our friend Boris J., child kicker, blatant rapist, and another member of the powerful dude with insane hair club,
right,
came along and hyped Brexit all the way up, bragged about it forever in whatever weird, bumbling British way he could manage, and then, boom, regret. And then, after the less-than-lettuce's shelf life term of Liz Truss, the ability of the Conservative Party to turn regret into, I don't know, Brexitement? Brextasy? Those are the best ones I can come up with. Has not been looking good. It's been looking questionable. While Sunak isn't hemorrhaging support at the same rate of Liz Truss, he's not exactly beloved, and for the first time in a while, it's looking like the Tories might not just hold on to power forever, especially by 2025.
Brexit brought to an end the right to free movement, a conditional, not absolute right of EU citizens to move to other EU countries between the UK and the EU.
So everyone who wanted to move to Italy after seeing all the TikToks of them on the balconies is very sad now. Significant loss. However, a significant minority of people, but, you know, significant, have experienced serious problems. Hundreds of thousands of applicants have been caught in a backlog, and there have been massive issues in securing rights for family members, especially in families where some people are parts of the UK and some aren't. Meanwhile, many have complained of difficulties in proving their status as the digital-only scheme that's going on issues no physical documents.
Which definitely has nothing to do with Britain's super peaceful history of treating minorities really well. The people struggling are not non-white immigrants. Never. Never happened.
Just eat your crumpets, be quiet, you know, UK. So, in late February in 2023, the UK and the EU reached a breakthrough deal in the dispute over trading arrangements that kind of happened out in the Northern Ireland Protocol, which is part of the legally binding Brexit divorce deal going on. And the Irish people are generally not happy. That's kind of like my intro to it. Although they're part of the UK, Northern Ireland continues to follow some EU rules to keep an open land border with the Irish Republic.
So basically, Britain wants to separate from Mother EU, but Northern Ireland is still close with its sister, the Irish Republic. And I feel like they all just should be referred to with female pronouns.
It's like an Irish drinking song. Exactly. You know, they have all those. So it remains in the EU's single market for goods, which helps Northern Ireland's manufacturers who have access to both EU and UK markets, which kind of, as we discussed earlier, Britain is not succeeding at. Northern Ireland unionists, which are like the people who really want to stay with the EU, have vehemently opposed the original protocol because of the internal UK-Irish Sea border that it created, which puts restrictions on trade from Great Britain.
Okay, we know you don't like the EU anymore, but hey, don't hurt us.
Exactly. Studies have suggested that Northern Ireland's growth has outperformed the rest of the UK. So the UK has been doing kind of horribly, as we discussed, but Northern Ireland has been doing better than the rest of them. But also that all the new trade frictions with Britain have had a significantly bad impact. The Windsor Framework, which was announced by Rishi Sunak, which it was also kind of following a thaw in relations since, believe it or not, people
well, the Irish people didn't really love Boris Jay and Lizzy Truss.
Which is crazy because they seem like the two perfect people to work out differences. I have no idea what could have possibly gone wrong.
I think they're both so competent and kind. So an agreement on data sharing helped, and a commitment by the British government to drop the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, which was a controversial measure, which of course was introduced by Mr. Boris Jay, which sought to override the original treaty if necessary and prompted retaliatory legal action by the EU before they broke up. So that happened, and the new accord introduces what they're calling a green lane for goods sent from Britain to Northern Ireland only, easing checks on goods heading south to the Republic as well. So British medicine should be allowed to circulate freely in the territory, and restrictions should be removed on packages. I'm not saying parcels. All the British articles said parcels. I won't say that word. Sausages, potatoes, and plants sent from Britain.
Potatoes are always the exception. I wonder if there was ever a historical potato problem or something.
What? Nothing up like that with the Irish. What they're calling a Stormont break, which is named after the devolved Northern Ireland Assembly, a lot of words there, is designed to address what they're calling a democratic deficit by giving Northern Ireland a greater say over new EU rules. So it gets to, you know, have a louder voice at all the little UK parties going on. Despite the new accord, political obstacles still remain, everyone kind of still hates each other, and in particular, it was unclear whether or not all the Tory Brexiters and the main Unionist Party, the DUP, Democratic Unionist Party, really shocking, would accept it. So, I'll go for it.
I was just going to say, it kind of feels like maybe the ultra-posh rich Brits can't understand the Irish accent, but who knows?
Yeah, maybe they just need to learn better dialects and then they would communicate better. So a solution to the kind of impasse going on with Northern Ireland would also unlock other areas of tension between London and Brussels, such as a return for UK science to the EU Horizon Research Scheme, which has been held up by the protocol, and it could also bring improved cooperation in areas such as migration, energy, defense, and cybersecurity.
Look, the Irish have been pretty pissed, as opposed to their normal, calm, happy state.
That's what I think of when I think of the Irish.
Normally, people haven't really been so forward with the British government about this, but I guess the Irish have just been downing pints of Guinness and barging into the UK government. And to other groups that have felt oppressed by Brexit, this could be the equivalent of watching a Marvel movie and feeling inspired to go fight the corporation. The British government, unsurprisingly, isn't really looking forward to that.
Because, as we know, the British kind of always want to rule the UK and the whole situation there.
Yeah. Okay, finally, the post-Brexit tensions have continued in Scotland, where a majority voted to remain in the EU, and the devolved government has been barred by UK Supreme Court from holding a new referendum on independence without approval from London.
Basically, to kind of explain that, Britain knows that Scotland isn't its biggest fan. There's a lot of inner UK tensions. They're fighting, there's drama, there's relationships, there's problems. So
it's a triangle.
It is. It's like a kind of hate/love triangle? I don't know. To avoid having Scotland just leave the UK and go back to the EU on its own, because as Anouk said earlier, Scotland really never wanted to leave EU in the first place. The UK Supreme Court was just like, oh, haven't you heard? You can't vote without London. Silly little Scots. Our dear friends, you shall never leave. The Scots are obviously thrilled about this new development now that they are, like, losing their right to vote on this, so, you know.
Yeah.
Tune back in for another podcast about, you know, the Scottish war incoming. I don't know.
All right, that concludes this episode of the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you learned a lot about Brexit.
Any funny jokes that you heard in the episode were written by Anouk and Anouk only.
Yes.
All of them.
Just me.
Just Anouk. Just Anouk. And for your listening pleasure, here's Anouk's blooper reel.
Hi guys! So right now we are in the process of getting Susanna's computer to work because it's really not, and it's also not on, which is also why it's not working. And I'm just staring at Sammy looking all beautiful, and yeah, we're
Anouk's getting more comfortable speaking into a
camera. Yes, I'm trying. This is my
This is the blooper reel.
How to say, like, dipping your toe in the water or whatever.
Oh.
Mm.
That's what I'm doing.
Bloopers. Outtakes. This goes at the end.